Yeah. Sorry?
Cold?
No. Not so far. Are you cold?
No one else is cold.
Are you cold?
I mean, that's cold. I don't want to be the only one.
Good, so you can quiet.
Close the door. I'll tell you what it is. You want to go in the bathroom there. There's something there that's causing.
I got the Yankee.
Okay, we are on Kof Gimel Amud Aleph. We are up to the two dots, about 12 lines at the bottom. Min Arkuva Lamaila. I think it's 15 lines in the bottom. Masiv Rav Kahana. Now, what we're going to try to prove is that even the area above the knee is referred to in the pasuk as feet, as legs. And if it's called legs, why isn't it kasher for chalitza? That's the question. If the Torah calls it, I'm sorry, Adarabba, the Torah calls it feet, calls it regel. Regel means a foot. So if the Torah refers to the whole thing as regel, so what's wrong with doing chalitza mi'al raglai? That's rego, right? We said that's considered above the above. But it's not. It's rego. It's the rego itself. I can bring you multiple psukim that refer to the area above the knee as rego. So why is it a kasher chalitza? That's the Gemara's problem. And the Gemara will bring multiple psukim. Masarim kahana. Ubushuyasa hayaitis mebein regleha. Fucking the teichacha. And it says that a woman will be mean to her husband, to her children, and to the shuya that comes out from between her feet. That means referring to her children that are born, right? And it calls him Ibn Ragla. Now that's way above her knee. Amrabaya, Bishosh Karas, when a woman gives birth, Noyatis Akavel Biachasehom, she sits with her heel against her thigh, meaning she basically kneels. And Violetus. So the feet are right there at the time of birth, under the thigh. And therefore, that's why it says, Mibain Ragleha, because her feet are there. Not that the thigh area is called the foot, but her feet are bent right under her thigh, and that's when she's giving birth. Rashi, Zayetus, Mishayasa, Hayaitis Mibain Ragleha, Alma Yerachayim Nami Mikri Rego. The thighs are called foot. Tell us our 12 Yakosav, Avad Yoitz mi bein raglah mamish. Vainu duchsiv mi bein raglah. Talk to Gemara about it. Tashma. Loi asa raglav, loi asa swamai. It says over there that, I believe, by David HaMelech, it came, Tziva came with, what was his name?
Mipibaisis,
thank you. Mipibaisis came, and he showed signs of mourning. And the signs of mourning that he showed is he didn't adjust the raglav, which means he didn't cut the hair around the genital area, which was normal in those days to do. But as a swamai, and he didn't do his mustache. And it refers to the area of the genital area as raglav. So we see feet go all the way up to there. Dr. Gemara Lishna Maalya. That's because the Torah wants to use a nice language. It's not raglav. But the Torah refers to it as raglav. It's a nice way. Rashi le'asa raglav. Le'hester zar zokin atachton. Did not remove the hair of his genital area. Tashema. Vayavi shol le'hasach es raglav. Now, it's talking about he came to urinate. And the Torah refers to urinating as what's hasrech? What did he say hasrech is?
Cover
his legs. Again, he's urinating, and it's called legs. Mishnah Maalya. Rashi lahasrech zlagav meiraglayim. Ami yurachayim regel mikri. The thighs are called feet. And the answer is, no. Tashema. Ach meisiv hu raglav b'cheder hamakira. It's talking about Egloi Melech Mayav. What happened was he got killed by Ehud. The story of Navi. Ehud came to the king and he killed him. And he left, he closed the door, he locked the door, and he left. On the way out, he locked the door. And his servants came, and they saw the door locked. So they said, the king must be urinating. B'cheder hamakira, what is hamakira?
Cool chamber.
What?
Cool.
cool chamber. And again, he uses the word mesech esraglov, covering his legs, for urinating, rubbing his feet. So we see that the thigh is called foot. Lishnamalya. Bein ragleha, it's talking about the story of Yoel. This is a story we'll be spending time on a little bit in the Gemara. It was a war. Sisera oppressed Klal Yisrael. And Klal Yisrael went to fight against Sisera, led by Devaira Hanaviyah, along with Barak, her general, and they won a huge victory. And Sisera went running away, and he came to the house of Chever HaKeni. And that was he was friendly with him. So he knocked on the door, and he asked Chever HaKeni's wife to hide him. Now, the story progresses that she killed him. She gave him food that made him tired, and she killed him. And then when Barak came chasing him, she went out and said, "I killed your adversary, here he is." That's the story. In the story, in the Shiras Devaira, that happened right afterwards, Devaira sang a song of praise to Hashem called Shiras Devaira. We say it in the Avtaira of Parshas B'Shalach. She talks about the fact that Yoel had a relationship with Sisera. That part of her effort to weaken him was to let herself be used in order that weakens Sisera, makes him more susceptible to being killed. And she uses the following terms. Bein ragleha, between her feet. Now, relationships are not done between the feet. They're done much higher than that. And yet, we see the Torah calls it feet. Zakta Gemara Lishna Ma'oya. Rashi, Ech Mesechu Esragla Be'eglam Marech Marechzu Bein Ragla Be'in Yerchaseh Shebo'ala Sisera. But this Chavna, her intention was to daily yagrate and tire him out. Amar Rabbi Yechidim. Sheva Be'ilos Bo'al Oysa Rasha Ba'isa Hayayim. Sisera lived with Yoel 7 times. Shenemar. Bein Ragla Kara, he kneeled. Nafal, he fell. Shachav, he slept. Then it said again, Bein Ragla Kara, Nafal, that's 5. Basher Kara, Sham Nafal, Shadun. Where he leaned, that's where he fell. Shadun, I think, means dead. What?
Bereft of life.
It says 7 times the Lashon Kara, Nafal, Shachav. To say he lived with her 7 times.
Did she do this?
L'shem Shemayim.
She did this on her own?
Yes. Karat Nafal Shachav Shivak Siva Bakroi, it says 7 times. Right. Frek the Gemara, we're going to go back to this. Frek the Gemara Vakamasanya Mavera. The bottom line is, she might have done it L'shem Shemayim, but she had pleasure. So how could you say that it's a big act? The Gemara says that Yoel's act is equal to the Imohois. The Gemara in Nazir, says, that Gdaila Averi Shloi Lishma commits with Shloi Lishma. Sorry, Gdaila Averi Lishma commits with Shloi Lishma. That Yoel's living, Lishem Shemayim, is as big as the Maz. How can you say that? She had pleasure from an Avera. Once a person has pleasure, can't say that it's as great as a mitzvah. Zakta Gemara.
She wasn't forced.
It is disgusting for the tzaddik. It's not pleasurable at all. For a tzaddik to have this with a rasha, it was disgusting for her. She had zero amount of pleasure from this. Rashi, Rahi, Shisaynim, Aharashoim, the Kutza Nefesh Tzaddik Vanasam. It's disgusting. The pleasure they're receiving is hurtful. It's disgusting to them. Hilkachlav Anoi, it's not called a pleasure. Now, this brings up a major discussion. Did Yoel do something legal? She was a married lady. She was mezana with a guy 7 times, willingly, L'shem Shemayim. No question about her L'shem Shemayim. She meant totally to get rid of this enemy who killed so many Jews, who was oppressing the Jews, and she was going to finally get rid of him. And the way to get rid of him was to tire him out, get him to sleep, and then she could kill him. And that's what she did. And she used this method of tiring him out. So the question is this legal or not legal? So this brings up a major machlokes.
I mean, if she would have had a hana,
then the Gemara wouldn't call it as big as the Moed. That's how the Mepharshim explained it. It's referring back to what the Gemara Nazir that says Yoel act is equal to the Emoes' act when they marry the others. And the question is, how can you say that?
Esther, for example,
she's forced.
Okay, we're going to get, you have to give me a chance, okay? We'll get back to Esther. There's a big tumble. Dr. Bray just texted me, some say Yoel wasn't Jewish, that she was not a Jewish lady at the time. It's a big Shaila, it's a Machlokes. And if she wasn't Jewish, that answers that question. So she is governed by different rules. Let me try to explain. Let me make the question stronger. The Rav Chaim Volozhiner says in the Nefesh HaChayim, and this is a fact, the concept of Avera Lishma only existed before Matan Torah. Because before Matan Torah, we weren't bound to keep the rules of the Torah. So like Avram, Yitzchak, or Yaakov could decide that for the great need of Hashem, they would do something that the Torah would later ban. The Moshe, Yaakov married two sisters. You're not allowed to marry two sisters. But it was before Matan Torah. But he kept the Torah. The answer is he kept the Torah, but he knew that for him in this circumstance was the right thing to do. But that was pre-Matan Torah, when there was leeway. Once the Torah is given, a person cannot decide, for me it's better to marry two sisters. Sorry, there's no such cheshbon. The Torah said it's usher. There are no leeway at all in changing the Isurim of the Torah. The concept of an Avera Lishma, which existed pre-Matan Torah, was because there was leeway. You didn't have to keep the Torah at that point. It was voluntary. So therefore, Yaakov Avinu could decide that for him, for his neshama, for whatever cheshbon he had to marry two sisters. But those cheshbonos are great before Matan Torah. After Matan Torah, Chaim Volozhiner says, they don't exist. So how could she do it? So someone would say she wasn't Jewish. Not such a simple answer, because even as a Ben Noach, she has an Isra of Eishes Ish. She was a married lady. Some want to say that to save a rabbim, a woman is allowed to give herself up to save a rabbim. And this is a tshuva in the Shvus Yaakov, that there was a gang of robbers that attacked a bunch of Yidden, raised 10, 15 Yidden. And there was one lady there, and they wanted to kill all the people. So the husband of the woman said, tell them that you'll be mezana with them if they don't kill us. And they accepted that. She was mezana with them. And now the husband wants to know, is he mutter to stay married to her? She was mezana beretzen. So the Shus Yaakov is mater. And he brings Yoel and Esther as a raya. Yoel gave herself up to save a rabbim. And Esther went to Achashverosh willingly to save a rabbim. Till then it was bainus, but then it was beretzen. And it's even though the Gemara says she became usher to Mordechai, Shus Yaakov wants to taina that when you save a rabbim, it's a act that is mutter and it doesn't usher the woman to her husband. Now Yehuda argues and says you can't prove anything from Esther and Yoel because they were saving Klal Yisrael, not just a segment of Klal Yisrael, but all of Klal Yisrael. Sisera was oppressing everybody. Achashverosh had a gzeira l'hashmen l'harig is kala Yehudim. So therefore they were allowed to go. And Esther was usher to her husband. So therefore, Kasher avati avati chazal darshan, that she said, I'm becoming usher to you. So therefore, he holds it's usher for a woman to do. Only if it's saving the whole Klal Yisrael, she'd be allowed to submit herself. And she would be usher. Someone answered, Esther's not a raya, Esther did it up in Navi. Mordechai was a Navi who told her, go to Achashverosh. So when a Navi tells a person that for temporarily you can violate the Torah, she's allowed to violate the Torah. She still became usher to her husband. But she was allowed to go because the Navi told her.
Well, what's going on with?
I don't know if Yehudas was married. Dr. Braid is texting me questions. I don't know why you can't speak, Dr. Bates, but whatever reason it is, Yehudas, the story of Hanukkah, doesn't say she was married.
Is it Dr. Dorfberg's
Yorsed
today?
Yes, I'm sorry. Today he's learning his sponsors on Yiddish Nishma, Grendel Bashal Nota by Mr. and Mrs. Alma Dorfberger. Thank you.
Yes. Well, yes and no. A woman, if she's forced into an act and doesn't do anything active to pursue the relationship, it's called karka olam. She does not have to give up her life.
She could not voluntarily do it for herself, but she could do it for the rabbi.
According to one opinion, we don't pass it that way.
She would have to die rather than do it to herself, but she's able to do it for the
rabbi. Correct. That's what that one opinion says, which the Yehuda disagrees with. This is a big question of y'all. Esther is much less of a question, because she was commanded by a Navi. And a Navi has a right to break a rule temporarily. Elio HaNavi was able to be Makuv Korbanos out of the Beis HaMikdash, because it's a one-time thing by a Navi. A Navi can tell a woman, for a one-time thing, you can go be Mizana. That's what happened. So, she still was ostrich to her husband. So, the Nei Dibyuta ostrich this lady to her husband, even though she did it L'Shem Shemayim, she saved a whole bunch of people from getting killed. Her husband told her to do it, but she became ostrich to her husband. That's what he passed, she's ostrich to her husband. She volunteered. She did maybe a noble act, but she paid a consequence.
Is there been a difference if she got divorced first?
Well, you can't write a get when the robbers are standing there and with a gun and saying, we're going to kill
her.
What?
In the case of Esther.
Yes, Tysus asked the Kasha, Megillah, why didn't they get divorced?
He didn't give her a get?
No, Tysus asked the Kasha, why didn't they give her a get? And Tysus answers, it would become... get is automatically becomes public, and nobody was supposed to know that Esther was married to Mordechai. So, because nobody knew who Esther was, they didn't know she was Jewish, and that would have been publicized, and therefore Mordechai did not give her a get. Tysus asked the Kasha Megillah. Zakti Gemara Vayter. Shenamar, we're going to prove that Tzadikim.
No one was there, no one was great enough to tell her to do this?
For Yael, she was alone in the house when Sisera came and asked her to hide him because Barak was chasing him.
This is, where's all this written?
In Shaftim. There's a book in Ankh called Shaftim. In English it's called Judges. And it's there. In fact, it's in chapter 5 in Shaftim.
But
right, the longest of Torah of the year, Parshas B'Shalach. Yeah. Even in Ibriyar? Right, Shvat before other. Okay. Shenamar, how do I know that things that are good, from it comes from a Rasha, the Tzaddik would rather not have it? Has no interest and receiving good from a Rasha. Shenemar, Lavan was told, he shamer l'chop and the dabrem Yaakov mitoy vadra. Lavan was pursuing Yaakov. Shem warned him in a dream, don't you talk to Yaakov, no good, no bad. So Bishlam Ra l'chai, I can understand why Hashem didn't want him talking bad to Yaakov. El atayv, amai loy, what does Hashem care if he talks good to Yaakov? Elosh mami no, tevasam, so Rishon Roy ate the tzaddikim, because Yaakov would not enjoy hearing good things from Lavan either. Don't offer him anything. Don't do him any favors. Don't be nice to him. Don't be giving it to him. He doesn't need you. He'd rather be left alone. Hashem is saying, don't even say, don't even be benevolent to him. Frech the Gemara, who says that's the reason? Bishlay Mahasam Dome Mitzkalei Shema Davaris Kachavim. Their pshat is because when he talks, he might say good. At the same time, he might mention the name of Avodah Zarah. And Yaakov would be disgusted beyond.
Maybe this is a little worse for her. It's
been
disgusting for her, too.
Ella, about here, what bad is there? What consequential, meaning why would it be bad to her? What is the bad that comes out? So the Gemara, the Keshad Bazuama, when a guy lives with a Jewish woman, he puts in a certain tumah. The Amar Rabbi Yechonin, B'shar Shabbat Nachash Al Chava, Hitl Bazuama. When the Nachash lived with Chava, and Chazal say that the Nachash lived with Chava, he put in a Zuama. a certain, what does he translate to him? What?
Impurity.
Yisrael Sham Dwal Har Sinai Paskazwamasam. When we had Maim and Har Sinai, that removed that impurity. So when a guy lives with a Jewish woman, he leaves her with that Zuma.
Why would we not think it would be bad for her? This is a guy who she's doing it for the very reason that he's destroying Israel. I mean, what is the issue here? Why does he need a special impurity? I'll try. Your question's going to be better than my answer, but I'm going to try.
The Gemara's question started off is that she enjoyed the relationship. A woman enjoys a physical relationship with a man. So even though she meant L'shem Shemayim, you can't say that she didn't enjoy herself. She had enjoyment. She lived with him 7 times and enjoyed herself. So how could you say the Gemara in Nazir that this is viewed as big as a mitzvah? It's enjoyable. It's an Aveira that was enjoyable, the enjoyment of an Aveira. And the Gemara answered that the enjoyment didn't exist. There's no enjoyment. Now, you would say there's no enjoyment because it was disgusting, this guy who Jewish murder is living with her, even though she did it willingly, but it canceled that physical enjoyment by far. The Gemara seems to think that that wouldn't cancel the physical enjoyment. What canceled the physical enjoyment is the knowledge that I'm being made impure. Again, your question is still strong. Why can't you just say it was so disgusting for her to live with the guy that there was no physical enjoyment? But the Gemara seems to assume that there was physical enjoyment. And the Gemara's answer is, the impurity that she saw coming into her canceled that physical enjoyment. Again, I'm just trying to translate the Gemara. I understand your question. I don't have a better answer than that.
Didn't the Zuma come back after the Cheder Ego?
No.
According to this Gemara, with the Nafshu Tukhara, that the only way the Zuma entered?
Correct.
After those who say that that didn't occur?
I don't know who says that. Whatever Nachash Baal Chava means, everybody agrees to that washing, Nachash Baal Chava. Whatever way you understand it, literally, figuratively, it entered a Zuma.
But I thought the whole thing with the Nachash was he wanted Adam to take
Eve,
then he would die, and they could marry her.
Right.
I'm sorry.
Correct, yeah.
You want me to talk? I don't know what. What I'm trying to say is that, he just did what he, to marry her, like, big deal. He lived with her without being married to her.
Again, it's a question. I don't know the answer. I think there's a safer home that's coming out. It'll probably cover it. Terrence Avram.
Already writing the name of the
Sefer? I figure it'd be a good name, Tyrus Avram.
I'm trying to get some sponsor for the guy, Hershey. Asking for
change for
dollars.
He translates Shabbat, Nachash seduced her.
Right.
He didn't.
Well, seduced means what? That's the question. No. It's questionable what it means. But whatever it means, it was Matu Bazuma. Literally means he lived with her. Some say he didn't live with her. Caused her to do an Aveira that's like living with her. Whatever way you want to learn that, that's why I'm leaving that for the Teretz Avraham. Rashi, Shema Shema Davaitis Kachavim, Loma Ganafta Salahai, love and use the name of Avaita Zara. Why did you steal my God? Chaltzim the middle Shayna Shalai, back to the Gemara about Chalitza. The Mishnah said, if she used a shoe that did not belong to her Yavam, so the Mishnah said, the Mishnah said, the sandal Shayna Shaloi. It said, it's kosher. Zuck the Gemara Tana Rabbanan. Naloi. It says, his shoe. Ain't Liela Naloi. Now she could other minayan. How do I know she can use a shoe that belongs to somebody else? Talmud Loimer. Now, Mikol Mokum. It says now many times to include even not his shoe. Now we used that drasha before. To tell me it can be any kind of leather, not only tachash. But Taisa says that sometimes you can do multiple drushes of a pasuk. When one is not more mashma than the other, the Torah writes it so you can do multiple drushes. That's what Taisa says.
suppose the guy borrowed something. If he borrowed it, it's like it's his. Right?
No, it's not. It's somebody else's.
It's not
he borrowed. No, it's not Geneva, but it's not his.
He borrowed it.
You borrow my pen. It's still my pen.
Just using it.
That doesn't mean it's his. When you want to say, can I borrow a pen? Is it your pen? You don't borrow a lulav.
Right, it becomes yours.
Because you're kind it. You didn't give the Gemara a chance to answer yet.
Sorry.
So why does it say naloi? Naloi haruyaloi. It has to fit him. It's too big that he can't walk with it. And it comes to exclude a cotton that doesn't cover, that doesn't even cover most of his heel. Uprat l'sandal ha-masulayim, a sandal that's missing a sole. Shein l'ekev. Abaya ha-kolei kamezer Rav Yosef. Abaya was standing in front of Rav Yosef. Asa Yavama lachlitz. Yavama came to give chalitza, and the Mepharshim speak out that Rav Yosef was not in his bezin, because in his bezin he had a bezin chalitza shoe. One of the requirements is that a bezin have a chalitza shoe. They should have one. Well, he did. He wasn't in where he was traveling. He was somewhere else. The lady wanted chalitza, and there was no shoe. No chalitza shoe. Amalei, so he says to Abaya, have le sandalach. Give him your sandal. Your sandal works as a chalitza shoe. It has all the requirements. Yov le sandal in the smala. So Abaya was perturbed. Now, the way the Aruch Hanukkah explains it, Rav Yosef had forgotten his learning. So sometimes Abaya wasn't sure. Was Rav Yosef paskin this way because he doesn't remember? Or because he remembers and he's paskin this way? Now, what bothered Abaya was that even though it's kosher with a shoe that doesn't belong to you, l'chatchila should be the guy's shoe. Because the Mepharshim speak out, the pasuk does say his shoe. So even though the pasuk is marba other shoes, but l'chatchila you should keep the meaning of the word, his shoe. So Abaya was disturbed. Rabbi Yosef was telling me to give him his shoes. You know what Abaya did? He gave him his left shoe, which doesn't work lechatchila only by the Evan. Mishnah says, to use a left shoe on the right foot, it's okay. But it's only by the Evan. Lechatchila, you're supposed to use a right shoe on the right foot. Let me just finish the story. So he gave him the left shoe. Amalai, so Rabbi Yosef says to him, Eimad Amar Rabbanan the Evan. Rabbanan only said if it works, if you do the left shoe. L'chatchila mi'amar? Did they say l'chatchila you could use the left shoe? Amalo yachi sandal shenish leinami. So Abaya responded, so you're telling me to give him my shoe? It's not his. Eimadam rabbanon di'evan, l'chatchila mi'amar? Meaning, that's my problem. Exactly why I did the left shoe was I wanted you to tell me that you're not supposed to do that. So I can answer you, you're not supposed to do somebody else's shoe either. I didn't say lend him the shoe. I said give him the shoe. Give it to him as a kinyan. It's his shoe now. Like we do by lulav. If you want to take somebody else's lulav on the first day, it has to belong to you. He gives it to you as a present. Therefore, what Rav Yosef was telling Abaya is, give him your shoe as a present, not lend it to him. Therefore, it belonged to the person. So Rav Yosef knew exactly what he was basketing. Abaya didn't want to say to Rav Yosef, huh? So he did the opposite. So Rav Yosef should say no. And he said, oh, if you say no, so why are you telling me this? He said, because you didn't understand me.
So the chalitza shoe and the beis didn't the same idea.
Correct. We're mocking it to the guy. Correct. Right. The chalitza shoe and the bezin is given to the guy so he can give chalitza.
Why would Abaya have such a problem? Yeah. No different than Chalitza Shoe and Beis. Why is Abaya making him give it to him, obviously, with the same
terrorist bed? I don't know. I don't have an answer. Meaning, why did Abaya misunderstand it? I don't know.
He said,
because
he was learning, he was testing it to see how...
No, because he understood him not to be that. Right? Not, he wouldn't have questioned it. Rashi, now mikol mokum, chalutz hanal. It's missing. Doesn't have a soul. It was the Mesulam sandal. The Yavim give it to the Yavim and she can do Chalitza. Yavim is smaller. The Mischavin of it. He felt you should do Pshuta Shomikra. It says Nawai. So even though the evidence, it's to use somebody else's shoe, but the Chatchila should use his shoe. This way it will be his as a present. Correct.
So that explains
now. So again, the Mepharshim asked this question, what you're asking. Shall I say it again? Mepharshim asked the question you're asking. But they explained there's a concept called a mikra yaitzim idei pshutai. That even though we include other things, the fact that the Torah did use the term his shoe tells us that preferably that's the one to use.
It's not a.
Not what we included. From now there can be somebody else's shoe.
Someone else's who
lent it to you. Right. So this gets involved. Do we say this concept? The Mepharshim learned it here, that once the Torah included other things, it's still preferable to go with the Pashup shot in the Pasuk.
So anytime you have a is not a
Teribui.
It's not a Gezeirah Sheva.
No, it's not a Gezeirah Sheva, it's a Teribui. It's called the
Gezeirah Sheva is no Havmin to think it's not as good as the extra.
Again, I don't know how to apply. I prefaced it by saying, the Mepharshim go to town, how much do you say a Mikra Yaitzim Zeb Shutai? The bottom line is the Torah included other shoes, even not his. But yet, there seems to be a preference of the guy's own shoe because the Torah said the word his shoe. So now, what would be if we learned it out of Gezeirah Sheva? Would there still be any Mikrim Dei shoes or not? I don't know.
That's the meaning would be if a cutting owned a Chalitza shoe.
Well, then he can't give it.
Well, he can borrow it.
He can borrow, but you can't give it. Correct. Sandals or eights? A sandal of wood. The Mishnah said, a sandal or eights is kosher. Simply put, a wooden sandal is not leather. Yesterday we brought a machloikas tanoim, whether non-leather works. And our Mishnah said a wooden sandal works. That was again in Remeir. There was a machloikas. Rabbi Yossi said you need leather. Kim Remeir said a shoe does not have to be leather. In Remeir, there was a machloikas Abari and Rava. Does a shoe have to be able to protect? But the Mishnah says sandal of wood that protects, and the Mishnah says that's good. That's not like Rabbi Yossi. Zakti Gemara Mani Umar Abab. I'm sorry, Mani. Montana, I'm a Shmuel Remeir. The Tanya Rabbi Akita Yaitzer, the Kapshlo, the Remeir, Rabbi Yaitzer Yaitzer. Right? Yaitzer says, wood is not a shoe. Abu the Shmuel Amar, his father said, the Mechupa Arva Dibri Yaakov. No. The Mishnah's case of a wooden sandal means a wooden sandal covered with leather. Yesterday we said that even if you learn wood is not a shoe, but if it's covered with leather, it becomes a shoe. Even Rabbi Yaitzer agrees. The wood and the leather are one piece. The leather is attached to the wood. And she's taking off the whole thing. Now, there's a shayla if that's considered lechatchila or not. Is this only b'di'evad? Or can you even use lechatchila a wooden shoe covered with leather? Do we make gzeira? We possibly need leather. Do we make gzeira that a wooden shoe covered with leather, if we let you use that, people might use a wooden shoe. Or not. Some machlokes rishayim. Some rishayim say, it's mutter lechatchila, and some rishayim say, it's mutter b'di'evad, but lechatchila, we'd rather you not use anything that's not pure leather. Which is what we do to chalitza shoe, is pure leather. Nothing's there without leather. Which is what Rav said. Remember, Rav paskel like Rabbi Yossi. And he said, you should use, even the strap should be leather, even the stitching should be leather. Right. So I'll take a rabbi turn. I'm a rabbi mishmei the rabbi. So now we're getting involved in the difference. So yeah, let me give an introduction. Leather is one of the materials that if you make a keli out of it, a shoe, a coat, whatever, leather jacket, leather hat, can get the goyim. The Torah said there's such a thing called nigei begadim, that clothing can develop something called a plague, a nega. I don't know the translation of nega would be a plague. It's something that affects the thing and makes it come a. Sometimes you have to end up burning it. Sometimes you lock it up in a room and see whether it grows or not. If it grows or doesn't grow, it becomes tahar. There's different halachas that govern the goyim. The question is, this sandal is made out of leather, developed a nega. Now, there are different degrees of nega. There's the nega hamusgar, that's locked up for a week. And there's the nega hamuchlat, that it was decided it's definitely tamei and it has to be burned.
Confirmed.
What?
Confirmed.
It's a confirmed nega. See, I don't like the word nega confirmed, because that insinuates that when it's locked up, it's a suffix. Not true. A locked up nega is a definitely nega. It's a lower level nega. What happens later will determine in which direction it's going to head. But it's vadai tamei, not a suffix tamei. It's not that at the end of the week it didn't spread, we say, oh, it was a mistake, it was fine to begin with. No, not true. That's why I don't like the word confirmed. Confirmed seems to indicate there was a doubt. There is no doubt. A nega musgar is a nega, a lower level nega, different halachas of a nega. But it's a nega nonetheless. Question is, can you use that for chalitza? Tamei, the person will become tamei. Question is it a valid chalitza shoe? A chalitza shoe that developed a nega. Can it be used as a chalitza shoe? That's the question at hand.
What's the, I mean, it should not be? No. Why? Why is it not a shoe anymore? Because it's destined to be burned, so like it's not here?
This is questioned rabbinically. We'll talk about all this is coming up. You know, the Gemara is going to get all involved in this, so let the Gemara do its thing. Amar Rabbi Mishmei Derava. Sandal HaMuzgar, which is in the stage that it's locked up, and it's a lower level tuma, it doesn't have to be burned. Lo Taklitz Bay. She should not do Chalitza. Rabbinically, mchotz chalitza sikshera. Sandal hamuchlat, that it is decided the higher level tuma has to be burnt. My taklat zvayim, the mchotz chalitza sabsula. And the reason for that is, we have a rule that anything that's supposed to be burnt is considered doesn't have a shear. It's considered like made out of particles of ash. Anything that's supposed to be burnt is viewed like it's burnt already. So therefore, it's like a shoe made out of particles. You need a shear that covers his leg. You don't have one shoe that covers his leg. You have multiple particles. You look at the shoe as if it's made out of little particles as opposed to one solid piece of leather. And therefore, it's not kosher midaraisa for chalitza. Now, one second. So the reason l'chatchila, Rashi says, you shouldn't use a sandal hamuzgar, is because of gzeira. If you use a sandal hamuzgar, you might use a sandal hamuchlat. So they said, stay away from shoes that have a nega. But the oven, there's a difference. Muzgar, which is not headed for burning, is okay. Muchlat, which is supposed to be burnt, doesn't have a shear. It's called ksuse mechse shura. This is a rule. Anything that's supposed to be burnt, we view it if it doesn't have a shear. Like a lulav, that's supposed to be burnt, is not considered a good lulav because we don't view it as four tvachim. We view it as particles, not one solid unit. That's the halacha of anything that has to be burnt. And therefore, you need a shear of a shoe that covers his leg. You have particles here. You don't have one shoe. Rashi. Tandal Hamuzgar, Shaparka by Atzeras, that the Tzeras blossomed, Laitaklus by Bimeas Geroi, the Lelesi Lemevid Bemuchlut. You shouldn't end up using a shoe that is in a higher level tumma. The Mcholtzach al the Tzatzik Shere, the Labai Shrefu, it doesn't have to get burned. But she Ure Koi, and the Shear is still existent. Mukhlach al the Tzatzik Sula, the Lestrefe Koi, it's supposed to be burned. Banan Shiura Binan, Chayfes Reim Lagloi. You need a shear of one solid shoe that covers his foot. Halachically, this is not one solid thing, it's multiple particles. Yes. Yes. Yeah, but it's not Eimed L'Sreifa. Therefore, it's at this point still one solid shoe. Only by things that have to be burnt do we say that halacha. No, you have to cut out that piece.
Similar to the guy who's already basically
that he's going to be
executed. At least we don't consider him alive anymore. Similar kind of thing. Yeah, but I was thinking about that before I was able to rub. And what I'm saying is it's nothing of a shear. It's nothing of a shear. It's because it's like it's not there. Why does he seem to rip these particles? I mean, when you, the case of the Bez did, Paskin, he's Omeid Liskol, okay? Omeid Liskol means as if he's already gone.
But he's here.
Stoned.
But he is here.
But he's stoned already.
And he's dead, but this is a shoe.
No, it's not there.
It's still here. Nobody says he's not there. I don't know where you got that from.
He's cells and blood, but he's still here, but he's not a man. I mean, if somebody shoots a guy who's Omer Lizkila, he's a putter.
Because he sells him blood. He's no longer a man.
He's nothing. He's not
nothing. He sells him blood.
He's like dirt. Is that what it is? It's not tallowing in what's it called? Sheer. Is that something sheer? He's you think he's a human being? He's not a live human being. He's dead already. It has nothing to do with shear. Why is it with particles? Nothing with particles. I mean, it's just like it's not there. The Na'alo is not there. You think it's there, but luckily it's not there.
We need a shear for the sandal.
So he's trying to say it shouldn't say the sign is shear if there is no sandal. But there is a sandal.
Luckily it's no sandal. You think it is, but you're not using halakha glasses. Or halakha, what is the phone?
Lenses.
Right. That's what it is.
But the Gemara doesn't say, that's not the rule in the Gemara.
Yeah. No, I'm serious. By the case of the Skila case,
he's there.
No.
Yes.
Kisar of Dami means that he's burnt.
So this is a big shiloh. The Ksusim Maxishura means Kisar of Dami or not. The Taisis and Sukkah that talks about that. But either way, by Ksusim Mechshishura, the Gemara is saying anything that's supposed to be burned, even if you don't learn Kasar of Dami, loses its shear. That's what the Gemara says. It's no longer considered a shear. The lulav is not for tzvachim. The sandal is
but
not.
But now, I don't see anything by now that says it has to be a certain shear.
Yes, it does. It has to cover his leg.
It has to cover his leg.
With one shoe.
Instead of the, you're so Rebbe saying this is like 89,000 shoes.
Exactly. You just said it. Thank you.
That's where you learned it. You did. I learned like it's not a shoe. It's
but that's not what the garage needs. What am I supposed to do? It's not what it says.
I'm trying to understand why it doesn't say our way. My way.
Because it's not true. First of all, he didn't say it. Don't blame him.
What, Harvey? You embarrassed me like. Yesterday, part of that.
I mean, that's not in Rashi. What am I supposed to do?
My question is, why didn't Rashi?
Because it's not true. That's why you made up a rule. Now you're questioning why Rashi doesn't agree to your rule. It's not the rule.
Can you answer
Amenta's
bracha?
Yeah, you can answer Amenta's bracha. I think so. I don't know how he's going to get to Minyan, but I think so.
Now that he's not there, it can't be used for mitzvah. As close to this now.
Again, the comparison was an analogy. It wasn't to make an exact analogy. The Gemara never made the analogy. So all it's saying is, as far as this shoe is concerned, it's viewed as particles, not as one solid shoe. That's all it said here.
Prisoner has
Siraz,
a lifetime Siraz. People have had that, right?
What?
Prisoner has a lifetime.
He's out in three machnas. He's all the way out in Yubbinsville.
So needs to be done to him.
Why not? He doesn't get burnt.
But his shoe,
his clothing doesn't get burnt. His clothing doesn't have an egga. He has an egga. By the way, just for information's sake, a Mitzayra can live in Cleveland. He can't live in Yerushalayim, and he can't live in a city that was surrounded with walls from the days of Yeshua ben Nun. He can live in any other city. That's called Chutz L'Machna, except people have to stay away from him out of his four amas. But he can buy himself an apartment in Cleveland and move in, and as long as people stay out of his Daud Amas, he's allowed to live in a city. It says Chutz L'Shalosh Machnas, we have this idea that he's out there in some lonely forest. What? No, he can't, because nobody can be within the Daud Amas. And he's Matama Ba'ayo. So when he walks into shul, everybody would become Tame.
So he can't do
Chalitza. He can do Chalitza outdoors. So she'll have to become Tame. What are you supposed to do? I mean, one of the kings became a Matira, and he was a Matira for 25 years. And they built him a palace in the cemetery. And that's where he resided for his last 25 years. In a palace, beautiful palace, in the middle of a cemetery. Kept every claim from coming close to him, and not allowed to walk in the cemetery. And those who came to him became Tame. What? A Kayan is only Matumah Tumas Mace. A Kayan becomes Tame all the time. He has a relationship with his wife, he becomes a Balkari. The only Tumah a Kayan can't have is Tumas Mace. In fact, just as an aside, a kain that's Tameh Meis, because his parents died and he went to their Levaya, still can't go to any other kain, to another Tumas Meis. It's not becoming Tameh that's Usher. He's Tameh already. Till the Paraduma comes, he can't do anything about it. But he's not allowed to do an act of Tumas Meis, regardless if he's Tameh or Tar. Like, Avram Cohen's parents were Nifter. He went to the Levaya. He is a Tameh Meis. Till the Par Aduma comes, he's a Tameh Meis. Like I am, like most of the people in this room are. Now, he's still not allowed to go to a funeral. Because even though he's Tameh already, not allowed to do the act of Tumas Meis. But only Tumas Meis. Fine. So again, Amar Papi Mishmei the Rabbah Sandal HaMuzgul L'Tachlis Vay. Because it's supposed to get burnt. Repapa Mishmei the Rav Amar, Echot Sandu Amuskav, Echot Sandu Amukhlu Litachlitzvay, but Vimchotzel Chalitzasik Shera. He holds that even though it's supposed to get burnt, it's still good. And the Gemara will deal with why. Why should that be true? The Gemara is going to deal with it as we go on. Emet Hashem, tomorrow.